Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Good morning, everybody. Good to see you folk here on the screen. I'm glad that you're able to get up bright and early. And I believe there's no better way we could start today than to open God's word, let Him speak to us. And before we allow Him to speak to us, maybe we need to speak to Him and just have a prayer that He would just open our hearts and that these words would get off the page and into our spirits. So let's take a minute. Let's pray. Well, I just want to thank you for the gift of a new day that you've given to each of us. And Father, we just thank you for the opportunity, Lord, just to open your word. And Holy Spirit, we know you penned these words many years ago through the Apostle John. And we just pray, Lord, that you'd breathe upon these words, make them alive, make them living in our hearts and our spirits, that we would just not get some more information in our minds, but that our hearts could be warmed in a fresh way this morning. So, Lord, we look to you. We expect to hear you as we share this chapter together. And we ask it, Lord, in your strong and holy name. Amen. Amen. Okay, you might want to stretch. I know some of you folks like to lift your hands. It's good to worship the Lord and loosen up. Excuse me. Okay. John 14. Great chapter here. So Jesus is speaking at the Last Supper in John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. These are his last words to the disciples, basically pretty much till he goes back to heaven. So they're really important. It's kind of like a huddle, you might say, with his special followers. And he said this to them, and the good news, he's not just talking to the disciples back there, he's talking to us as well. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going. Thomas said to Jesus, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way? And Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father. It's enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Otherwise, believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I'll do it. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I'll not leave you as orphans. I'll come to you. After a little while, the world will behold me no more, but you will behold me. Because I live, you shall live also. In that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father. And I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you're going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, if anybody loves me, he'll keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I've spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, nor let them be afraid. You heard that I said to you, I go away, and I'll come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced, because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now I have told you before it comes to pass, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go from here. Okay. So, you might want to get a pen and pencil, because I'm going to be doing 14, but I'm going to take verses here, there, and kind of put them under certain different themes. So, basically, there's six different topics I'd like us to look at today. Number one, there's only one way to the Father, one way. Two, how do we get to know who the Father is, what he's like? Number three, learning to receive God's peace on an everyday basis. Four, how can we serve God effectively? Five, what does it mean to ask in the name of Jesus? And six, how do I love Jesus in a way that would please him? So that's kind of where we're going today, those six different topics. Okay, so let's look at number one. Basically, there is only one way, Jesus says, one way to the Father. Let's look at verses 2-6. So Jesus is saying this, in my Father's house, he's talking about heaven, okay? In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. So Jesus is clearly saying, hey, I'm going to heaven. And when I go there, I'm going to get things all set. So when your day comes, you're going to be able to join me there. And then he says this in verse 4, and you know the way I'm going. And I could just see Thomas scratching his head, making sense of this. Thomas says to Jesus, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way? In other words, Thomas is clueless. We don't know where you're going, so how can we even know how to get there? And then Jesus makes this very, very clear statement in verse 6. So Jesus said to Thomas, and he's really saying that to all the disciples. And by the way, he's saying that to you and I as well. And here's what he says. He said, I am the way. Notice he did not say, I'm one of the ways to heaven. He says, no, I am the one unique way to heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. In other words, nobody gets to heaven unless they put their faith in me. Very interesting, powerful statement. Let me give you two other scriptures that kind of back up what I just said. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, basically, Peter's preaching a sermon after the Pentecost experience, and then he makes the statement in Acts 4:12, there is salvation in no one else. There's salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Peter's very clear. There is no other name through which we can be saved. Let me give you one other verse here. It's in 1 Timothy, and this is by Paul, 1 Timothy, and it's chapter 2 and verse 5. And he says this, for there is one God, and here's the word, and there's one mediator, one person between God and mankind. Didn't say there's many mediators. He says, nope, there's only one mediator between God and men. And who's that? The man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. So Jesus is very clear. If you want to get to the Father, if you want to get to heaven, you have to go through me. And why does he make such a, in a sense, a narrow statement? Well, the Bible is very clear, and we've talked about this in other soaps. We have a problem. You do. I do. Everybody does on the planet. The problem is called sin, called selfishness, call what you will, but it has messed us up, but good. Because of sin, we carry guilt. Because of sin, many times we're in bondage. Because of sin, we have this empty feeling in the inside that something's missing. We're just, in a sense, a mess. We cannot fix ourselves. No matter how hard we try to overcome sin, the guilt, the shame, the bondage, the emptiness, no matter how hard we try, we can't save ourselves. And that's what Christmas is all about. God knew our predicament. God realized we couldn't put our lives back together again. So God did what only he could do. He sent his son, Jesus, into the world to do for us what we couldn't do. And on the cross, he took your sin, my sin, the sin of the entire world, and he bore it within himself. That's why he said, there's no other way. Nobody else can do that for us. Buddha can't do it. Mohammed can't do it. Confucius can't do it. Nobody can do it. Jesus is in a class all by himself. I am the unique way to God. So it would be my prayer, and I would trust that most everybody on the screen has made that commitment somewhere along the way where you've realized, yeah, I can't fix me, but God has provided a way for my life to come together, and I put my faith in the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, you did for me what I couldn't do for me. And because of your tremendous love, now I want to serve you. Be not only my Savior, be my Lord. So that's the very first step. We have to be reunited to the Lord, God the Father, through Jesus. And only through him can we be saved. And only through him can we have the assurance that when we die, we can know deep in our hearts that we're going to be with him forever in heaven. Okay, that's point one. There's only one way to the Father. Okay, now what? how do you know what the Father's like? Jesus keeps talking about God in the Gospels over, Father, Father, Father. But the Father's invisible. So how do I know the way the Father thinks? How do I know the way the Father acts? He's invisible. How do I get a handle on the Father? That's so, so essential. So Jesus says this, look at verse 7 and let's go to 10. He says this, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father. It's enough. In other words, Jesus, pull the curtain away. Just pull the curtain away. Let's get a view and let us see the Father up there. And Jesus says to Philip, he says to us, have I been with you? And yet you've not come to know me, Philip? He who is, get this, he who has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, the Father's in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Okay, Jesus is clearly saying, if you want to know what the Father is like, take a close look at me. Let me just say a little more on that, but let me give you two other verses before I kind of unfold that. In Colossians chapter 2:9, it says this, for in Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. In other words, Paul's saying, when you look at Jesus, inside of Jesus is all of the Father inside of him. And then in Hebrews 1:3, it says, Jesus is the radiance of the Father's glory, the exact, get those words, the exact representation of his nature. So if you want to know what God the Father is like up there, the invisible Father, Jesus is saying, then listen carefully to the words that I say. Notice what he said in 10. He says, the words I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative. So when you hear Jesus speak, you're literally hearing what the Father is saying. Jesus is the medium. He's the channel through which the Father, the invisible Father, is letting us know what he's like. Jesus said, I'm not just speaking any old words I dreamed up. No, no. I only speak what I hear the Father say. So when Jesus says something in the Bible, he's revealing the Father. And not only that, in verse 10, he says, the Father abiding in me does his works. The Father that lives in me does his work. So if you want to know what the Father's like, Jesus is saying, listen carefully to what I say about the Father. And not only listen carefully, watch what I do, because when I do something, it's the Father in me doing it. So to me, as we carefully study the Gospels, we see Jesus loving people, being moved with compassion. If we see Jesus doing that, then that's really demonstrating that's what the Father's like. The Father is compassionate. We see Jesus everywhere. He's touching sick people, healing them left and right. Well, he's actually then revealing what the Father feels or what the Father wants. If Jesus does it, then the Father must want it as well. When Jesus goes into the temple, at one point, he's very upset. And he takes the tables, he throws them over, and really takes a whip and drives out these people that are abusing the temple court. And when we see that, Jesus is demonstrating that God, yeah, God's loving and God's caring and he's warm, but God's also a holy God. And he's a God of justice. And in a sense, he's a God of wrath and angry at sin. So if you really want to know what God's like, if you want to build a relationship with him, carefully read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Because as you see Jesus in action, you see the Father. When you hear Jesus speak, you hear the Father. And it's amazing because Jesus reveals an unbelievably caring Father. One of the greatest parables Jesus speaks about is the prodigal son. And he messed up his life royally. And it's interesting. When he comes back, you don't see the father pointing the finger. Said, boy, you screwed up. You're done. No more shots at it. You see the father literally running toward the son and embracing him and forgiving him. Jesus is saying, that's a snapshot of what my father is like. So I encourage you, not only to make that commitment to Jesus so you connect with the Father, but get to know what the Father's like. And the more you get to know the Father, the more you're going to be able to experience what we're talking about. And the third point, God's supernatural peace. Okay, if you're looking at peace, look right in the beginning, 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled. Boy, do we need that in a world that's all messed up. Ukraine, Israel. But it's not just over there. Kathy and I are meeting a lot of people. There's a lot of trouble in people's lives. There's all kind of relationship troubles. There's financial troubles. I prayed for a fellow on Sunday that's really strapped. Man, I need help, he said, financially. There's a number of people that Kathy and I know that are physically ill. There's a lot of troubles. Maybe some of you on the screen, could raise your hand and say, guess what? Pastor John, I'm going through some tough times. I'm troubled. Listen to Jesus' words very carefully. Jesus said this, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And then if you add to that, verse 27, peace I leave with you. Now get this next word. My peace I give to you. Man, Jesus has unbelievable peace. His peace is undisturbed. Jesus isn't all frazzled. He's not wound up. He's not uptight. He's not anxious. Jesus, within his being, has absolute, total, unconditional peace. And he said here, peace I leave with you. He says, the peace I have inside of me, I want to give it to you in your troubledness. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I to you. The world can try to give us substitutes for peace, but the peace the world gives is not too swift. The world says, hey, you can have peace when everything goes your way. When everything's just smooth and sound, the world says, man, what great peace. That's the world's peace. But when circumstances go crazy, the world's peace goes out the door. And Jesus says, I want to give you a peace that's not related to your circumstances. I want to give you a peace that's lasting all day, all the time. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. And then after that, he says, here again, repeats it. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Okay, let's be practical. How do you get the peace that's in Jesus? How do you get that released in your everyday troubled life? Well, I think basically three ways. Number one, accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. That's where it all starts. You've got to open your heart and know that Jesus is on the inside. You need to be born again. Secondly, this is a very big deal. How do you get peace? You've got to know who the Father is. We know a lot about the Father up here in the brain, but do we know it deep in the heart? I believe we'll have peace proportional to the degree that we know the Father's love and his care and his provision. Let me say it again. We'll have peace in proportion to the degree we really know, not just in our heads, but in our hearts, that the Father loves us and he wants to take care of us and he wants to meet our every need. So we need to know Jesus the Savior, Lord. We need to know the Father, and then we need to trust him. Notice what he said here in 14:1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Here it is. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Believe in God. And then believe also in me. Let me just give you one other verse. And then just let me say a word or two after that. This is in it's in Romans chapter 15. Romans 15 and verse 13. So what Paul says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. How? In believing. So the only way we're ultimately going to have peace is we've got to trust and have faith in our Father that he's really, really going to take care of us. Like David in Psalm 23, we had to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, and because I know he's a good shepherd, I shall not want. He's going to take care of every one of my needs when they come up. I was reading a little article the other day, and it's just something brand new that I'm going to try to practice, I hope, for the rest of my life. And the article basically said this: when a need occurs, we begin to say, Lord, thank you, you're going to meet the need, and begin to expect God to meet the need. And to keep affirming that when the need comes, thank you, Lord, you're going to meet the need. And there may not be an immediate change, but if God said very clearly in Philippians 4, my God shall supply all your needs, then we need to trust that. But just kind of wrapping up on this section, you might be saying, like me at times, oh man, you know, it all hinges on my faith. Am I believing? But my believing and my faith are not too swift. So now I'm up a creek, but let me just tell you, okay, how do you get a strong faith? And it says this in Psalm 9:10, and I've quoted this one over and over in soaps, and you might want to write it down and memorize it. Psalm 9:10, it says this: those who know thy name will put their trust in thee. Those who know thy name means the character. So those who know thy name, those who know thy character, those who know God will put their trust in him. Think about that. Who do you trust the most on this planet? Just think about it. Who do you trust the most? And then let me ask you a question. Why do you trust him? Who's that person you trust the most? Why do you trust them more than anybody? You trust them because you know them. You know their character. You know their concern. It's no different with the Lord. The more we know who he is, when we really, really know that he's a good father and a good shepherd, we can begin to rest and come to peace knowing, yep, he's got it and he's going to take care of me. Okay. So there's one way to heaven, Jesus. That leads us to the Father, and to know the Father means to be able to receive his peace. So a couple more here. How do we serve God? If you look at verse 10, Jesus says this again, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father, the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative." Here's the statement, "But the Father abiding in me does his works." The Father abiding in me does his works. And then I have to ask the question, okay, how does the Father, who's in heavenly places, how does he abide? How does he live in Jesus? Big question. And you know how he does? The Father abides, lives in Jesus through the third person of the Trinity, through the Holy Spirit. Jesus did all his ministry through the presence and the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus did not act as an independent agent doing his own thing, doing his miracles in his own power. No, he was totally leaning into the Holy Spirit inside of him. And it's almost like, you know, Jesus said, "I only do what I see the Father doing." The way I would perceive it, it's like Jesus looking up all day. Okay, Father, what are we doing? And as he looks to the Father speaks intuitively deep in his spirit through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit reveals inside, okay, Jesus, you need to touch that blind man. You need to do this. You need to say that. So Jesus does that through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that throws the switch. If you look at the Bible carefully, the Father initiates the work, but he does that through Jesus, but it actually becomes alive and actualizes when the Holy Spirit acts. So Jesus' ministry was effective because he was absolutely open to the person of the Spirit. And when the Spirit prompted him to do something, he moved with the Spirit. When the Spirit stopped, Jesus stopped. And Jesus talks about that Holy Spirit. If you look at 14, look at verse 16. "I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be with you. I'll not leave you as orphans, I'll come to you." So what's interesting, Jesus operated through the Holy Spirit. He spoke what the Holy Spirit gave him to say. He did what the Holy Spirit did through him. And then Jesus is saying to the disciples, and by the way, he's saying that to you and I as well. He said, "I'm going back to heaven, but don't worry, I'm sending my replacement, and you're to live your Christian life the way I lived it, the same way, totally dependent on the person of the Holy Spirit who lives within you." One of the prayers that just has been so close to my heart over the years is, "Holy Spirit, I've got to know you more personally. I want to know you as a living personality. And Holy Spirit, not only do I want to know you, not just intellectually, I want to build a relationship, a fellowship with you. I want to know your movements, Holy Spirit, so that when you move, when I feel that nudge, when I feel that prompting, that I can respond to that and flow with you." So Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit. He goes a little bit further. He taught in, let me see, where am I at here? Okay, he talks about that again in that time of being able to talk about the Spirit, and he'll go further. John 14, 26, "But the Helper," notice, isn't that a neat name for the Holy Spirit? The Helper, right? I need a lot of help. I'm sure you need a lot of help. What a neat name for the Holy Spirit, the Helper. Yeah, you have a problem, go to the Helper. John 14, 26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. So the Holy Spirit helps us. So if you want to know how to serve the way Jesus served, get to know the Holy Spirit. Get to know how he moves in you and through you. Get to be able to hear in your insides those intuitions, those promptings, those nudges. And when you sense them, move with them. That's the Father initiating his ministry through you, through the person of the Holy Spirit. Okay, and basically, we have two more. You know, we're talking about service. One of the ways we serve the Lord is by prayer. If you look at verse, let me get here, let me see, we're back here, 14. Look at verse 13, chapter 14, 13. Jesus, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. And he says something very similar in John 15, 16. Jesus says this, you did not choose me, but I chose you, appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. Here it is, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. Now, some people think, okay, that's kind of cool. It's kind of like a rabbit foot. And if I rub it hard enough, then God's got to answer my prayer. So I can pray whatever I want. And at the end of my prayer of what I want, now I just say, in Jesus' name, as if it's like a little rabbit's foot, like it's magic here or something. So to pray in Jesus' name doesn't just mean we tack on that little phrase at the end of our prayer. No, that's not what it means. To pray in Jesus' name means to pray in his name is what? His character. So to pray the prayer in Jesus' name means literally this, to pray the prayer Jesus would be praying in any given situation. So when we're praying for people, it might be good just to pause and say, Lord, what are you praying for this person? And trying to be still a little bit and trying to hear if the Holy Spirit gives you any information. But to pray in Jesus' name is to pray in his character, the way he would pray. And by the way, to pray in Jesus' name always means to pray in God's will. And there's a great promise in 1 John 5:14. It says this, and this is the confidence which we have before God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. So to pray in Jesus' name means to pray in his character. And it means to pray in God's will. And if you're like me, sometimes you say, Lord, I just don't have a clue. What is your will in this specific situation? And there's a verse here. I have found this kind of a challenging verse to fully understand and to practice. To pray in Jesus' name is to pray in his character, to pray in his will. And, you know, we get stuck. And if you look at Romans 8:26, it says this, in the same way, the Spirit also helps. Remember, it says he's a helper, right? He helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should. How many times have we been there? Lord, I don't have a clue how to pray for this sick person or this other person who's going through this. Lord, I don't know. What should I pray? It says we don't know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts, that's God the Father, knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So, I don't fully understand that in practicality in my own life. I'm working on that one to try to understand it better. But sometimes we just don't know how to pray. And it's almost like we have to say, Holy Spirit, it almost like you got to pray in words that are deeper than my brain. You've got to, he almost talks about like a groaning, that's something that comes from deep within you. And that somehow God, through the Spirit, puts this particular kind of groan or burden on you. And at that point, you're praying in Jesus' name. So just realize when Jesus says to pray my name, it's not just tacking on that at the end. It's learning to pray, what would you pray, Lord, in this given situation? And the last one is, how do we practically love the Lord? You know, the Bible says that we're to love him with all our heart, mind, and soul. But what does that look like in reality? What's the Father looking for in love? Look at 14, 15. Jesus says this. If you love me, he says, this is what you'll do. You will keep my commandments. He says, real love means obedience. Now, he didn't just say it once. Look at verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. Look at verse 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Excuse me. So, three times, Jesus is being very, 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 very clear. He said, real love is doing what I ask you to do. Real love is not just coming to church, raising our hands and hallelujah, we praise you, Jesus, and then we go do our own thing. Real love is just saying nice words to Jesus in prayer. Real love, Jesus said, real love, if you want to really love me, then would you please do what I've asked you to do? You know, that anybody, you know, it's like the parents saying to the kid, go take the trash can out. And the kid whines and complains and doesn't want to do it. And what the parent is saying, would you just be practical? You know, I've asked you to do something. If you really care for me as the parent, would you just do what I've asked you to do? Go take the trash out. It's a very practical thing. And Jesus is very clear. So let me put it this way. Your love, my love for Jesus is proportional to our obedience. I think we need to let that one sink in. I love Jesus only to the degree I'm willing to do what he asked me to do. And if I'm being disobedient, then I'm not really loving him. That's the bottom line. So that's the challenge I've got to ask myself, and I need to ask you, are we really being obedient? When the Lord prompts us to do something, are we doing it or aren't we doing it? Now, what's interesting is Jesus says, if you love me the way I want to be loved, which is doing what I've asked you to do, he said, then there's a special reward. And look what he says here in verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. He who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Another translation, I will reveal myself to him. Folks, it doesn't get any better when Jesus says, I want to make myself real, not just theological in the brain, not just some kind of an intellectual understanding of who I am. Jesus says, I want to become very real in your time and space world. I want you to be able to literally experience me. But he says, it's proportional to our obedience. So if you really want to get to know Jesus, not as just somebody that lived way back in the Bible, but if you want to know Jesus in a real way today, not just some kind of a doctrine, but an actual interaction with a living person, if you really want to get to know Jesus, then seek to obey the next thing he asks you to do. And the more we're obedient, the more the father says, you know, because you're obedient, I can trust you. I'll show you more and more and more of who Jesus is. So that's it, folks. Quick review. There's only one way to the Father. That's through Jesus. If you want to get to know the Father, study Jesus. Listen to his words. Watch what he does. If you want to know peace, then learn to trust the Father. And how do you trust him? You get to know him more and more and more. You build a relationship. How do you serve the Father effectively? You got to be open to the person of the Holy Spirit. And when he nudges, we go with him. When he stops, we stop. How do we serve him? Many times we serve him through prayer. Prayer is an amazing way to serve God and to bring heaven to earth. And the last, how do we love Jesus practically? Well, then just do the next thing he asks you to do. And I like what somebody said on Back A Ways. They say Christianity is not complicated. It's just doing the next thing and the next thing and the next thing that Jesus asks you to do. That's it. Just follow him through the day. Jesus said to the early disciples, follow me. That's what he says to us. Follow him. Just walk with him. And when he asks you to do something, do it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the richness that's found in John 14, Lord. And I just pray for each of my brothers and sisters, Lord, of these 6 points. I don't know which one applies to each person, but you do. So, Lord, I pray that as we leave, there would be a takeaway for each of us, that one of these 6 points would be kind of illuminated and lifted up to us. So help us, Lord, to be faithful to the light you give us. Help us to be, Lord, in this dark world, particularly at this Christmas time, help us to be a bright light out there in our society. And Father, we just thank you, and we pray in Jesus, in your strong and holy name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, folks. Look forward to see you next Tuesday. Amen.